Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Always a pleasure to be able to share this time with you. A little hoarse because I did an awful lot of broadcasting last night and doing a voiceovers for my new documentary, which I'm happy to say is only about 6 weeks away from being premiered upstate New York. More on that later. So we're going to start with the latest on health and healing. Remember, all this comes from the National Library of Medicine. This is from the Rush Medical School, and it talks about one serving of spinach a day could keep mental decline away by 11 years. Including vegetables such as spinach and kale can keep your cognitive function from declining by 11 years. That's terrific. Rush University in Chicago found that adults who ate the leafy vegetables suffered considerably less cognitive decline than those who did not. The findings were regardless of other factors, meaning it didn't matter what your education or exercise or family medical history was. They analyzed 950 people with an average age of 81 who participated in 19 different tests to assess their mental function. And those who ate the dark green leafy vegetables once or twice a day halted their mental decline by 11 years. One more reason that I've suggested repeatedly that the more fruits and vegetable servings you get into your body each day, the healthier you're going to be. Now, mind you, this is the nutrients that are rich in vitamin K, which is rarely discussed, that helps with your immune system, helps with bone formation, helps prevent osteoporosis. And we're just not getting enough dark green leafy vegetables. In part, it's understandable because many of us grew up with vegetables that were overcooked, TV dinners that were overcooked and not healthy, where the whole emphasis was getting your protein. Understandable, we need protein. But we went from needing protein, a good thing, to having excessive amounts of protein, a bad thing. Excuse me. I was pre-recording and broadcasting this morning for the last 4 hours. Now, when we take in too much protein, the body can't use it, so you just get extra calories. When you take in extra carbohydrates, especially refined carbohydrates, almost all that ends up as fat. It doesn't provide the nutrients that feed the cells that prevent the cells from diseasing and prematurely aging. But when you're having healthy fruits and vegetables, as many people do, not enough, the latest percentage shows 7%. That means of the entire adult population, which is about 30 million people, are eating healthily every day. That means 93% are not. And yet, because people are primarily eating because to fill them up so they no longer have an appetite, they're hungry, and because fast foods are cheap foods, you can get a whole meal for around $5. So that's one of the reasons that we have not a whole lot of these healthy foods. For example, when was the last time you went into any kind of restaurant and found watercress on the menu, or microgreens, or sunflower and mung bean sprouts? You just don't. You have to be conscious of their availability, what they provide you, in order to grow them yourself or eat them. But if you want to help protect your brain and prevent the inflammation in the brain that leads to the amyloid beta plaques, which then, in effect, clog the brain, causing Alzheimer's and other degenerative diseases, then this is important. This was at the Experimental Biology Conference in Boston. Now, something we're also talking a lot about is the microbiota. Micro is in very small, biota, which is the bacteria. So you could simply say the good bacteria in your intestines. And they wanted to do a study in Spain to see whether or not it really helped. And they believe that there was a cardiovascular effect of what are called these pomegranate micronutrients. These are kind of like tannins, and also walnuts, and whether they had positive or negative effects upon your gut microbiota. Meaning, did having walnuts and eating or drinking pomegranate juice and concentrate, did it really help you? So when they contained, when they looked at the foods, they had different metabolites and how they were metabolized differently. They had the soy isoflavones and equiol, and they had all these different things they were testing. And they published this in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And for, especially if you're overweight or obese, they found that the probiotics can help reduce cardiometabolic disorders and disease. And you get those from, yes, indeed, pomegranates and walnuts. Excuse me. Now, separately, and also on probiotics, they found from taking probiotics, it's linked with youthful gut microbiota. And that's one of the reasons you can live a longer life. So the bottom line is a healthy gut, good bacteria, a longer life. And this was done at a Life Science Institute. Another study on exercise from the University of Tübingen in Germany found that it reduces the severity of Alzheimer's symptoms. Once again, remember the concept, the older you get, the more you need exercise, both aerobic and resistance. And this is just another case of it. This was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's and Dementia. So get the exercise in. And menopausal women can reduce their symptoms by eating fenugreek, F-E-N-U-G-R-E-E-K. This is from the University of Agricultural Sciences in India. And simply stated, postmenopausal women experience a decline in hormones that in turn affects their mental and physical health. And these hormones are essential to quality of life. And oftentimes they use hormone replacement therapy to address these concerns. However, if it's synthetic hormone replacement therapy, it comes from mare's urine and only has about 12 of the metabolites that are needed. Whereas if you get natural hormone replacement therapy, or what is called bioidentical, and you rub it into your skin as a cream, that rejuvenates the natural hormones in the body without the risk of heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia at 13%. So they found that one single herbal supplement, fenugreek, could help treat these symptoms. This was published in Phytotherapy Research. So it's a simple seed. Some people use it as a fragrance, aromatherapy. Other people use it as a seasoning. But it makes a huge difference. It reduces night sweats by 68%. It reduces mood swings by 75%, insomnia by 75%, headaches by 53%. That's a big change, especially if you have those conditions. And also from Duke University School of Medicine, a common flame retardant raises the risk of a thyroid cancer. And this was presented at the Endocrine Society's annual meeting. And this is very common. Thyroid cancer is the fastest increasing cancer in the United States. Most people are not aware of that. With most of the increase in new cases being the papillary thyroid cancer. And it's deadly. So one of the things they found out, it comes in a lot of the fire retardant fabrics, your carpet, drapes, all kinds of linens. So if you have any of these, try to go to the natural, organic, non-treated fabrics in your house. Help prevent thyroid cancer. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm not spending as much time today because I have something interesting I'm going to share with you. So we're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Over the next several days, I'll be sharing with you clips from scientists about the lawsuits that are occurring based upon the fact that they've uncovered, and we have multiple sources for this, that the vaccine manufacturers, in cooperation with the FDA, knew from the very beginning, within 30 days, that the vaccine, the spike protein manufacturing, did not resolve itself after a few hours, even a few days, in the deltoid muscle in the arm, shoulder. It went right through the body because it had a nanolipid coating, and that meant that it could pass through the blood-brain barrier, the placental barrier. It could go to every cell in your body. They also knew that all these children were dying because of the adverse effect or developing heart disease far more than were actually being adversely affected by COVID. So the treatment was worse than the disease for young people. And yet they're still promoting it, still making it mandatory in California and other places. Here's just the latest proof that everything you were taught and conditioned to believe was wrong. This is a Professor Agnes Dalgalshi, and she is a professor of oncology, that's cancer, at St. George's Hospital Medical School in London, and renowned in the field, and did a lot of work on HIV and AIDS. And the conclusions of this professor, Angus, is that the COVID virus confounded the government's line. Quote, COVID vaccine booster now does more harm than good. I repeat, this professor says the COVID vaccine does more harm than good. And then there's an article from the expose that talks about this particular professor going to a whole conference sponsored by the Ministry of Health in Great Britain. And it was called the Policy Exchange Forum. And she wasn't allowed in. They said they were out of tickets, but she could watch it on the internet. So she did, and she found out that all these seats were empty. They lied to her. Why didn't they want her speaking? Well, it's obvious based upon her being a real scholar and looking for the truth. She said, quote, the speakers were all in self-congratulatory mood for a wonderful vaccine program and even more pleased with themselves that they were going to roll it out at least twice over the next year and that they had plans for vaccines for everyone in the future on a constant basis. So these were all pro-vaccine participants except her. She looked for the truth, she found it, and she found that the vaccine shouldn't be given, any of the vaccines. And she's a scholar. So isn't it interesting who they exclude from allowing the public to know the truth? So if you're supposed to make informed consent, who's informing you? Who's giving you the information from which you can make your choice? But wouldn't that be true of anything in life? Oh, you want to buy gold? Good, go buy gold certificates. What happens if you don't have the gold in hand, the physical hard metal in hand? What if a company that sold you the gold goes bankrupt? Can you get your certificates in? No, you can't. They control it. Well, then who told you that they'll take the certificates and they'll, you know, make sure they're safe? Well, they did. Did you get anyone else's advice? No. I had a conversation early this morning with a physician and who was going in to do surgery. And it was about a patient who needed to get some prescriptions for MRIs and blood workup. And the patient wants to see, do they still have cervical cancer, which is a deadly cancer. It kills a lot of women. And this patient had tried 3 times a day for the last 2 weeks of contacting the doctor's office, but nobody ever answers the phone. And they don't get back. So I took, as the patient's advocate, drove it over there, wasted 4 hours of my time, but it wasn't a waste because I said, now empower yourself. What do you mean? Let them know. And then without anger, don't yell or scream, don't curse, just say, that your needs have not been honored, and yet the doctor has never seen you or given you anything without charging you his fair market value. So, what happens when you need to know information, the status of your lung cancer, the status of other conditions you have in the body, and these are serious and life-ending conditions, and nobody returns the call? So let them know that you're just disappointed at how you've been treated. You can't speak for other patients, but you can speak for yourself. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they're so busy, because this is a really busy clinic, that if one patient, you know, has a problem or 10 or 100, they've got thousands. What do they care? And it worked, at least as far as getting some prescriptions by being there in person. That suddenly changed something. But how many people have advocates who know what's going on and can help them? Not even one half of 1%. So we're left with the idea that whatever you need to know is all you need to know. So whatever a doctor tells you, don't go beyond that. Certainly don't go and get another third or second or fifth opinion from another class of physicians who practice medicine differently, possibly. So we're very monotheistic, meaning we tend to make decisions based upon very limited information. And that's not healthy. It's not good, because they can make mistakes and do all the time. Another person that I got on the phone with, their physician, and I said, I'm seeing here your notes and your labs. This patient has uncontrolled high blood pressure. The blood pressure is one of the highest I've ever seen on three medications. What was your next move? Well, give her fourth or fifth medication. But the medications you're giving also cause acute renal failure, and you also state this person has acute renal failure, kidney failure. But didn't happen before because I had the previous doctor before it came to you. I had the previous doctors, all the medical workups, and there was nothing wrong with the kidneys. The patient says you never once mentioned diet or lifestyle change. Is that true? Excuse me. I think I did. Maybe I didn't. So you don't think a discussion with the patient about things they could do for themselves might help? Well, the medicines are what works best. But you've just created an iatrogenic disease. You just created a disease that in another week or two would cause this person to have to go into dialysis or kidney failure and death. So your prescription for this patient could end her life. And that doesn't concern you? And the conversation went from there. That is not an unusual or an exceptional situation. So what I'm saying is about everything in life and every institution in life, every problem in life, try to get counterbalancing input and advice. Then whatever choice you make, then those choices are yours. Just, you know, saying that because I think it's important. And I think that a lot of people would not be suffering today if they went further in their scholarship. Now, yesterday I did the entire show, one full hour, on what we have to look at if we're going to be realistic, not fatalistic. Mind you, I'm not a fatalist. I'm not an apocalyptic thinker. To the contrary, the difference is I believe we should all be completely honest with the problems and then rank the problems in essential seriousness, which is the most important problem I've got to deal with in my life. And it's going to be different for each person, but some problems are universally true. For example, if you live in California, or if you live in Utah, Nevada, and other states that are fed by the little Colorado River, the government, Department of Interior, just decided that they're going to cut your water supply by 25%. For a lot of farmers, that will put them out of business. But some farmers shouldn't be in the business of growing cotton, which is one of the most water-intense resources it uses in Arizona, in the middle of a desert. That's not where you grow cotton. So you choose the crops that you can grow based upon the natural resources that are available. But we're not doing that. We just believe that we can do anything we want, like a modern-day manifest destiny. My power to supersede politically or economically allows me to do whatever I want without any consequences, but then now the consequences are catching up on all levels to everything. I'm merely trying to show you that there are big, big problems, and let's pay attention to those first. The little problems, yeah, we have to deal with them, but let's deal with them in a way that does not create constant angst and anxiety. You do not become rageful because you have inequality or inequities or racism or hatreds, because then you just become a part of the problem, an eye for an eye. We have to keep ourselves level-headed. Now, I've held over 200 plus demonstrations, marches, and rallies. Never one was there violence. Never one was there anything that was demeaning, degrading, insulting, said about the issue. To the contrary, for those of you who came to Three Mile Island, and we had a group of agitators, clearly Asian provocateurs, who suddenly wanted to go out in the middle of the road in front of the state troopers and lay down and block traffic. Well, you can't block traffic going in and out of a nuclear power plant. You can't do it. But they decided they would do it. Now, here are thousands of us, 99% my audience, and I went up to the microphones and I said to everyone, including the police, I said, those are Asian provocateurs. They're here to draw attention to the media, and it's not on the news. Well, there was a radical demonstration in a nuclear power plant, and this is what they had to say. And then you'd have someone yelling and screaming, cursing. That is not what's going to happen. What we did is we handed out documentaries, award-winning documentaries called Knock on the Devil's Door, or Deadly Nuclear Legacy. We handed out articles to the police also, showing that, hey, if there's a leak, if there's an explosion, accident or not, your family is also in harm's way. Shouldn't you want to know what we can do to either close the plant over a period of time and also or to make it safer? And so the energy was in, here is a positive solution. Let me underline that. Here is a positive solution. Our time wasn't all spent on the problem of nuclear energy. Our problem was, how do we go from the known and unknown dangers of nuclear to something positive to take its place? We did the same thing. There's a woman, a wonderful human being. Her name is Sherry Bernson, and she's a public figure. She ran special programming for Colorado Rocky Mountain, or Rocky Mountain Television, which is PBS Colorado. And I guess she invited me out there maybe 33 times, 33 different specials. Each one was a different special. And what made an impression upon me was that at that time there was money coming from the Koch brothers, who I adamantly oppose their policies and how they make their money. And they were giving into the board, and the board was under pressure. So every time I would appear, no matter what the topic, if I talked about healthy children, there'd be complaint letters, and I would answer every one and show the facts of what I was saying. And then that ended it. I did a special that the station said, you cannot run this. It's a documentary, and it was called Seeds of Death. And the documentary, which I know many of you saw, I think it's been downloaded over 100 million times in search engines. It's number one search result on that topic of genetic engineering. So a lot of people are familiar with it. But it laid out the story of, are genetically engineered foods safe as compared to organic foods? And what happens in the body to humans or animals if they're around genetically engineered foods, including pesticide sprays like glyphosate? Well, I knew at the beginning that the enemies would be coming after my program and me. It would be Monsanto. But we had something on our side. We had the truth. Now, truth does not always win out. I wished it did. But in this case, Sherry said, the audience wants to see this, so I'm going to play it when we'd otherwise be off the air, so nobody can complain. It'll be 11 o'clock at night, and we'll do it as a little fundraiser. Maybe we'll get 100 people watching. Well, they got thousands of people watching, and it was their number one fundraiser. how many times they play it? Over 84 different playings of it. And there was a bill in Colorado that had all of the big food makers and Monsanto supporting don't label food if it's genetically engineered. It was food labeling. And we lost in almost every single state, which showed that people were convinced based upon the commercials that the people creating the problem could run, and we didn't have the money to do the commercials. But this meant that it barely lost in Colorado and California and Maine. But for those people who are awakened to this reality, they didn't know any of this stuff. And you've got to assume that if you're in any kind of battle, first educate yourself to both sides. Ask yourself this: is there something that I'm going to say or think about an opposing point of view that I may be wrong about? We shouldn't be just black and white. You're all in or you're all against. You know, that stupid mantra, you're either with us or you're against us. And that's not life on any level. And so only by listening to their arguments and then see if we could deconstruct them, and doing so without anger and without bitterness and without becoming emotionally involved, don't become the problem that you're trying to solve. Okay? Let me say that again. Do not become the problem you're trying to solve, because otherwise you'll never solve it. Because the energy, the conditioning, the mindset, the epigenetic input that caused the problem is the same energy and mindset you're trying to resolve it. You won't. It just comes back to self-serving and blaming others, but not yourself, taking no responsibility. So I believe you have to look at the big problems. Well, the good news was that if that bill were to go again today in Colorado, enough people have shared that information that it would be supported. We would have a food labeling bill. And we have had food labeling bills pass only because people became better educated about the issues. The key is, do your homework on every issue, go into it. And so you can take on a serious issue. Don't take it on with rage, anger, hatred. Don't. We've had joy and happiness. Think of how many of you, I know there were at least 8,000, because I was there, I filmed you, along with Summer Reese and the president of the Pacifica Foundation, came over to two rallies I did in the same morning. One was over in Prospect Park, where we had Consumers Report and about 50 other booths, and we were marching, walking, literally, to Washington, D.C. But we're going to stop over 10 days in a bunch of cities to share the information on what was wrong with genetically engineered food and what was right by sustainable, locally grown organic food. And the person who really made this happen, I brought the audience and the science, but he brought all the things that you needed, like all the organic food and the chefs that would cook the food and two big trailers that we had. One had showers for women, one had showers for men, toilets, the whole thing. And literature. We handed out hundreds of thousands of pieces of positive literature on the topic. Here's what you should know that happens in your body when you eat organic. Here's what happens when you eat genetically engineered. We use Dr. Cheryl Annie as an example, the French doctor who found that when they fed rodents glyphosate, the herbicide Roundup, for the whole life of the rat, they developed all these massive tumors. Is that why there was no study in the world we could find that allowed the rats to be fed longer than 3 months? Because up to 3 months, he didn't find any tumors. After 3 months, he did. So the scientists were so aware that their product was toxic that they made sure that no studies went beyond 3 months. And the scientific community went along with it. Foolish them. But anyhow, there was this long march. So we went from there over to Riverside Park. And there I had Helen Collicott and Michio Kaku. We had all these wonderful speakers on the dangers of radiation. Separate issue altogether. One was genetic engineering, Marsha Washington, giving out books and films. And the other was on nuclear radiation. Can we close down Three Mile Island? There were about 1,500 people there for that rally. And Summer said, wow, we're not doing anything about this at Pacifica. I said, well, you can. I'm on PFW in Washington at that time for 30 31 years. I would go on to be on there 36 years. I said, we're going to end up right across from the White House. Why don't we put all this, do some programs, special programs on this march. March to regain our health. March to be free of propaganda and to learn the truth about how we can prevent disease. The positive solution to a negative problem. The negative problem is, well, the doctor's overcharging and the pharmaceutical company's overcharging and a lot of drugs they're giving us are not good and actually cause disease. And it's a warp system once you're in it. And they won't, then you're a prisoner to it, and it was number one cause of bankruptcies. But also, the other side of that was, if we focus only on the problem, then there's no march to Washington singing and joyful and having a lot of fun and showing positive aspects of a solution, how easy it is. End of story. So we got our message out at an end point, not the provocateurs. And we didn't yell, we didn't scream, we didn't curse at people, we didn't spit upon people as they came out of the gates, as many of us, myself included, had been spit upon when I came out of a company that produced DDT by the workers, thinking we were cracks. No, in 1972 it was banned, but until that time we were demonized as conspiracy theorists. So we got our message out there, and the media covered it objectively and fairly. And that led to a lot of changes at an end point. If we couldn't close that end point, let's at least bring enough pressure of the truth that they have to start putting in new safety systems. We had Miss Merrill there, Merrill Lynch, who had a whole wonderful story. Not a wonderful story, but wonderful in that it inspired people to realize if you live near an Indian a nuclear power plant, you're at a much higher risk of breast cancer. So in any case, in Washington, we finally get to Washington. I go out in front of the White House, and there's a little street in front of the White House and Lafayette Park, which is right across the street. But right up the street, one block away, there was Occupy Wall Street. And so before I went on television, I walked up there, and I went tent to tent, and they had having a big group meeting where they all spoke and together. And I said, look, we're thousands of us down here. We got a lot of good organic food. We've got speakers from all over the United States. Would you like to come down and join us? No. Okay. Well, we're taking on the very people that you're against, the Wall Street people. We're taking on the largest food makers and the pesticide companies and the people that pollute our environment. Shouldn't that be a part of something specific? Because if you say we're against capitalism, okay, people say, so you're against capitalism, and virtually everything in your life was created by capitalism, some form of capitalism. It can be benevolent capitalism, or it can be deadly capitalism, as in war manufacturing. Everything is a spectrum of reality. You're only dealing with one end of that spectrum and not appreciating the other end. But hey, we're giving you an invitation. Don't want to hear about it. Didn't want to know about it. Didn't want to know about organic anything. And I look around, almost all these people were college educated, mainly females, but I would say 80%. And they didn't want to know anything about what they were focused on, which of course would lead to nothing changing in the end. They had their moment, good. But they said there's only 1% were against us. I says, no. How many millionaires are there? How many billionaires are there? How many? And they didn't know. I said, well, when you realize that, then you're realizing you're against 16% of the American population, not 1%. And why don't you ask yourself, how many of you right now are willing to look at your tag and your shirt, dress, blouse, whatever it is, and see, was it made in Bangladesh by slave labor? So you're here against, you know, bring down the machine, and you're the machine. You're just not aware you're a cog in the wheel. Look at your credit cards. Who do you pay that interest to? Citibank. But you're against Citibank. Wells Fargo. You're against Wells Fargo. And you're eating McDonald's. You're eating meat, factory farming. Who owns Cargo? So the very, I said, I've never witnessed that kind of hypocrisy in my life. And that's why, after 22 days of taking on the issues and see what legitimacy I could find, the legitimacy is being concerned about those in power but then differentiating to those in power who are using their power constructively and those who are doing the wrong thing with it, and understanding the systems, educating yourself at a deeper level than just reacting. In any case, we did our presentation. We believe we affected hundreds of thousands of people in that 10 days. Many of you listening right now were on that march because people came up the whole day and we were talking. And I wanted to thank the Ortegas who drove me down there and brought me back. But it's just one of those situations where you can take on a major issue, a crisis issue, something that's adversely affecting everyone that sprays their lawn with Roundup or eating garbage food or, you know, putting your money into a bank that the bank doesn't give a damn about you. You have to look at the bigger picture. And that is, how can you get off their grid constructively and positively? Because you can. The solution to virtually all of our dilemma is first become conscious of your participation in it. Once you're cognitive, then you don't have to feel this constant existential angst. You can say, hey, I feel pretty good today because I've learned something that I can do for myself or with other people, that I no longer am dependent upon going into Whole Foods to buy my food. I can grow it. I can go to a local farmer's market. And suddenly you start to unwind from this real tight grip that they've got you bound to. Positive solutions, facing really serious dilemmas with people who will not give up power, will not change, and therefore stop fighting the machine. It will win. Instead, build a better machine, something they can't control. I remember when I was, I'm going to go to this clip in a moment, but I remember when I was trying out for the varsity basketball team in college, and we had the best team in that division in the state. These guys were great. And I was told by the assistant coach, who happened to have been a professor in income taxes when I was in a different college that I graduated from before I went into my other pursuits in nutrition. And he said, Gary, he said, the likelihood of you beating these guys is just about zero. It's not going to happen because these guys are tall. They're, you know, I was only at that time 6'1". I went to 6'2". And he said, but they're 6'10". And these guys come on scholarships. You're not here on a scholarship. But you don't win any game, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, just on offense. You also win it on defense. He says, but what you don't have, height, you do have, and that's leg power. You have these huge legs that you got from working out, powerlifting. He says, take this little booklet, use this, because you have to overcompensate in your gifts where they are undercompensating. And I did. I tried that. And after all the workouts, and then they select one person, one guy. And I made that out of 60 guys, made the team. I would never have played. I'd been on the bench. That's fine. And only by a fluke of the head coach, Bucky Davis, great All-American athlete from Ohio State University, who was our coach. The head coach got the flu. His assistant coach, his brother, was the coach at that time, and at the end of the game, with only 2.5 minutes left, and we were ahead like 35 points, he had already had the first team sitting, first five guys, and then the second team almost, and then he was allowing the last five guys in, and I went in, and in 2.5 minutes, just based upon defense, stealing the ball, not allowing him to take a shot, blocking shots, taking the going up, because those legs allow me to jump fast and high, I was able to get rebounds. Only scored, I think, 4 points, but it was in 2.5 minutes. And suddenly, you know, that got someone's attention. So in life, the metaphor is this. Don't focus upon your limitations, your shortcomings, as something that prevents you from doing something. Focus upon any system. Any system has something that you could do because of your strengths. Focus upon your strengths to get something done. Focus upon your weaknesses to overcome them. So the more you overcome your weaknesses, then the more your strengths are going to manifest themselves. That's true at everything in life. That said, I want to play you a clip. Now, these are going to be controversial clips. You can accept or reject them. They're merely here to make a statement to which we can then make address some of the issues they're raising. We have a lot of angry people in the United States right now. We have a lot of young people that are not just angry, they're raging. I mean, there's fire-breathing dragons out there. They don't want people to have their point of view. They're burning books. They're slugging and beating people. They're competing against people that they have an enormous advantage over. And the woke generation is pushing all this as if this is a normal way of communicating. It is new, but it's not normal, and it's not constructive. We will not have a better society or positive change by you beating someone nearly to death to make your point of view. Let's go to the clip, please.
Ask me all the time why I think people on the left are angry. You know, coming from the left, I guess I'm a fairly good source to ask. There's a lot of factors at play. Cognitive dissonance, one, which if you don't know, that's the discomfort one feels from having contradicting thoughts or beliefs. Also, every issue on the left is made into an emotionally charged issue. It's all a form of some type of injustice. And if you actually believe that there's all these different injustices occurring in the world, you're going to be angry about it. But also look at the content that people are pushing out. I mean, most of the time when I see like super woke creators, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're angry, they're emotionally charged. Now imagine being locked in an algorithm on every platform giving you all of that content. Imagine your friends, everyone in your life, being angry all the time about things that are going on in the world. You're going to be angry. And then add on top of that all the people dealing with a lot of emotional turmoil, and they might not know where to put that, so they're pushing it into politics. Just my two cents.
People ask- just her two cents. Let's pause that. Honestly, I feel like she did my job for me with this video. But there are so many different things that we can dive into. She mentioned four things. I think we should go through each of them. Cognitive dissonance being the first one. Man, do I relate to this so hard. When I was working for the left, I would often go to these different conferences and go and knock doors and hand out pamphlets, get people to fill out surveys and all these things. And I would get questions from maybe conservative or more classically liberal people who would challenge my beliefs, and the cognitive dissonance that I would feel in trying to defend those beliefs was unbelievable. It was insane. I remember one time this student came up and asked me, because, you know, a lot of the left criticizes the government, and it's like, you know, the government is doing this wrong, they're oppressing us, they've subjugated us for so long, our systems and institutions are oppressive and racist and patriarchal and all these things. And I was talking about socialism, and this kid walks up to me and he's like, "You want socialism, so you want the government in control of all these things, but you're also telling me that the government is super oppressive and racist and patriarchal. How can you want both of those things at the same time?" And oh my gosh, in that moment, you can just feel your brain exploding of, oh no, 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 I've been caught in a major contradiction. So instead of going, you know what? That makes total sense. You just get super defensive, and anger and depression and sadness and all these things you just project out onto other people. So imagine going through that every single day. Every single day.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about sometimes when you have a need for something to be true, you encounter facts that contradict your need for something that you've staked your identity, you've staked your source of meaning on a certain cause being this, you know, and you being this agent in this cause who's making change, and then someone presents you with the facts of like, hey, the very thing you're advocating for is actually causing harm. Then how do you react to that? You can either be like, oh, okay, well, I guess I was just wrong, so let me completely rebuild my identity and allow it to, you know, like rebuild my entire source of meaning because you just torpedoed it. Or you can deny and get angry and change the, reframe it and change the debate and refuse to acknowledge the thing that is undercutting your entire argument. And that's easier to do than realize, than really like accepting that, hey, maybe my whole life is just completely a lie right now.
Right. And they give you the tools to just reject, like, just get it away from you. They'll tell you, well, don't even listen to people who disagree with you, because those people are inherently evil and you shouldn't listen to them anyways. Or when you do end up talking to those people, you have all these safeguards. How often have you heard somebody on the left say, you can't talk about transgender issues because you're not transgender. You don't know what it feels like. You can't talk about black issues because you're not black. You don't know what it feels like. I've even been told that I can't talk about black issues in America because I'm not a descendant of slaves. So everywhere you turn, there the goalpost moves, right, and switches and changes, and you have an extra guard that you can use against people when they challenge you. And imagine how frustrating that is, not for the person you're talking to, but for you to have to constantly, like, try to battle and fend off things when really the problem is within your own ideology and within your own thinking. So cognitive dissonance 100% contributed to me being angry on the political left. She then goes into the injustice factor. And man, I think this one drives it in more so than anything. This is why I was such an angry person on the left, and probably why she was most of the time as well. Every day you wake up and something is wrong. Somebody's being oppressed. There's somebody who's being attacked. And it's so strange. Even small political back and forth that we have with each other have become attacks. You know, it's no longer a cultural debate. It's a culture war. People are fighting and dying and lives are being lost for the sake of ideology and things that people are espousing. One day it's Ukrainians are under attack. The next is Palestinians are under attack. Then it's black women are under attack. Then it's trans people are under attack. Then it's black men are under attack. Then it's gay people are under attack. And every single day, you feel like you are engaging on a battlefield, and it's not the case whatsoever. But to wake up like that and not only feel that and have it thrown at you, but to seek it out is horrible. I remember that I would wake up and, you know, try to find projects to work on when I was on the left, because I was working with young people and organizing protests and doing educational seminars and all these things. You have to quite literally look at the world through the lens of oppression and find the injustice. I would hear stories on the news and go, oh, well, that must have happened because racism here, patriarchy there, this right here happened. That's because of capitalism. And even if there wasn't any exploitation happening or any true oppression happening, I would find an angle where it was happening. I would find a reason. So even positive stories, I could switch into something that was just in itself so negative. And you have to imagine that that reflects on you as a person. It just becomes part of your personhood to be super negative and looking for the wrong in everything.
Yeah, and I think that's symptomatic too of this the overarching narrative that is in our culture is this, hey, there's this patriarchal systemic issues that America is inherently not a good place and not a force for good. And it's on you, young activist, young person, to do what you can to bring down the mm-hmm. system, to break down all of these obstacles that are victimizing people. And what it robs young people of is this journey of figuring out their identity on the basis of what are my talents? What are my original thoughts? What are my passions? What are my what do I want to do and build in the world? Because in a world where if America is the land of opportunity and we're in a free world, then you're free to pursue what's in your heart and pursue what you're interested in and develop yourself as an individual and you know, pursue the art or the business or whatever mm-hmm. that you want to grow in and get yourself educated. But when you're being preached at from the time you're a child, the first time you log into TikTok, when you're watching Disney or whatever, mm. that America is this big oppressive place, then and it's your job to bring it down and support the people who are bringing down all these oppressive institutions. And that's where you need to get your source of meaning, not yeah. in figuring out your identity or figuring out what your talents are or pursuing family or something like that. It's all just about activism.
Yes.
And you have to solve the oppression. And if you don't, it's like the weight of the world on it. And no wonder so young people are struggling with mental health and right. Feeling like all this anxiety because, oh my God, people are being oppressed and I have to go save them and it's all on me. And if
I'd like your thoughts on that. I'll save my thoughts. 888-874-4888. And again, what they're saying is accurate. I can tell you that that an awful lot of people who are full-time activists, and you see them on the Good Light Board and these other places, you see them in Pacifica everywhere, just angry all the time, every day, all day, just anger. Now you can say, well, maybe there's legitimacy to their anger. And I'm going to say, if there's legitimacy, which there can be, there are a lot of things of inequality and injustice. We bring them up all the time. But more importantly, we want to know, how did that happen? Who benefits from that? Because if you stay at the level of, you know, we are primarily a patriarchal society, and that's the problem, all men are toxic, that's the problem, et cetera, et cetera, you've missed it completely. You have missed the big issue. I can assure you, if you go to Davos, if you go to the Business Roundtable, if you go to the Council on Foreign Relations, they're never talking about these issues, because they want to create the issues that you then become a part of. You morph into what you believe. And so you're never going to be talking about the injustice. Why haven't we spent our money on de-ghettoizing cities or universal health care instead of propping up all these corporations and banks that have failed, and we prop them up but not the average person? If you don't look at the real problem and see the real problem, then you're like a person that has seven diseases and you don't know which one to focus upon, but they all hurt. Well, the question is, how did you get those diseases? If you don't start there, then anything that's going to be done to help you, you're just going to undo. I've seen that in my own practice, helping people improve or reverse disease completely where they're cured. And then 4 years later, well, yeah, I didn't stay on the protocols, you know, I went off. Why? Why? Why didn't you? Why wasn't your life that important? Why wasn't happiness important? Why wasn't joy and laughter important? Why wasn't being creative and constructive important? Why wasn't stretching yourself intellectually to read again, to converse again, to meet new friends? Why wasn't that also important in your life? That's why I say you can be non-toxic around toxic people, because we can't always change the people in our lives, our family and friends, but that doesn't mean you have to absorb and become their energy, because then you're just going to be out there once again yelling and screaming, thinking somehow because you yell and scream at the top of your lungs and stamp your feet like a little immature seven-year-old, that you should be taken seriously. Nobody takes that seriously, and that doesn't change anything. You won't stop a war that way. The only reason we stopped the Vietnam War is because people who were accepting the war, their kids came back in body bags, are all broken down and broken up. Then it got personal. So we have to take a different approach to our solutions. But if we think we can change the problem by somehow accepting that the government will change itself, it'll see the wrongness of its policies in Ukraine and Libya, it won't. The same people have stayed in power for over a century, at least, and they're not gonna, and they become completely conditioned to the fact that they never fail. Something else fails, not them. They never apologize. That's why my yesterday's talk talked about, you have to look at our institutions, not just the people within them. And so then once you see that, wow, I didn't realize that I'm just a person that has not done anything because I didn't want to, because I feared such and such. Well, now I'm going to do something. I'll do something with my power. That's why I said, you know, I wasn't 6'10", but they didn't have the ability to be as quick because they were so big. So use your strengths, whatever they are, in order to have a way of processing information that allows you to get off the grid, get off of their system to the degree that you can. I'd like to hear your input. 888-874-4888. Now, I also want to mention, before we go to your calls, and as soon as we go to your calls, they'll let me know in studio, and I'd like to hear them. We have something brand new, not brand new, but back in stock. We've been out of this for a year. And yet this is one of the two most important products, certainly for aging, that you could take. This is the anti-aging elixir. And this we've been out of because there's so many ingredients in it. Many of those ingredients come from foreign countries, from Africa, Asia, South America. And I wanted to make it the best product I could, and I made it organic, and they'd be out of two or three of these items, and you have to wait a whole season, meaning a whole year, for them to grow back. So we've already placed another order, but at least this one came in yesterday. So I'm going to give you a special one, our anti-aging elixir. And this is good for everyone in this audience. It's good in, well, let me just tell you what's in it. I won't tell you what it does. You got the organic apple, you know, and all these are organic, mangosteen, tart cherry, pomegranate, acai, mango, nopal, noni, turmeric, ginger, sea buckthorn juice, vitamin C, papaya, pectin, mangosteen, beetroot, aloe vera, wolfberry, goji berry, elderberry, cranberry, blueberry, kakadu plum, moringa, baobab, a macaque, and graviola, and stevia. You just don't get better than that. There's nothing in the world that I know of anywhere that can compete with this, because I know what it cost us, and I know what they would have to charge in order for them to sell it. So you're getting this, plus you're also getting a book. You're getting a cookbook, a beautiful cookbook, a big vegan cookbook with salads and plates and side dishes and soups and main entrees and desserts and shakes and smoothies and dips and spreads. You're getting health protocols in here. Yeah, I've got a whole section in here on just health protocols. And you're getting hundreds of dishes, everything from the African millet salad to the Indian arugula salad. So you're getting the best of the best. Plus, you're also getting a documentary, How to Live Forever. So you're getting all this. It would normally cost $133. As your cost is only $68, you're saving 50%. So how do you get it? Call Neil in the Vitamin Closet at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. Or you can order right online and it'll all go out today if you get them in. Or you can call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And unfortunately, until our next order gets in, you can only have maximum two per person, okay? Because I don't want us to run out, because we've been at it for a year. It's just now back in yesterday. And this is, quite simply, one of the most important products I've ever created. And it took over 2 years just to find all the ingredients that were organic, certified organic. So this is the anti-aging elixir. And it's not going to be homogenized, so you got to kind of keep it in the refrigerator, shake it before you use it each time. It has a slightly bittersweet taste, but boy, is it good for you. Wow. You can just Google any of the ingredients, and you'll see all the scientific literature in the Library of Medicine, what it does, okay? Now we'll go over and see if we can take a call here. Do we have any
No calls, Gary.
Oh, no calls? Okay. All right, well, we're out of time. And also, let me mention that we only have one place left for the anti-aging study. And by the way, Bill Falloon and the Life Extension Foundation has tentatively agreed. I asked him to confirm it early this morning. Hopefully, they'll do that. That they will be paying for all of your vitamins for 3 months that the study runs, and your three blood workups you're going to get. Day 1, day 13, and day 90. And that saves you a lot of money. That saves about, I guess, around $1,500. So that, I've gotten it orally. I got to get it in writing before it's 100%, but that's good. But this is going to be the most important anti-aging study I've ever done and probably ever done anywhere that I'm aware of. And boy, do we have a lot in it. So if you care about your aging, and we're allowing people 40 and up, because 40 to 50, 50 to 60, and 60 to 70, we're considering our control group, with the idea that was put forth by two of the scientists who are on a conference call, is why is it, Gary, that older people over the age of 70 don't generally finish in the stuff they're supposed to do. I said, well, that's not true of all, but it is true for some. Well, in your last study, half the people didn't finish the study. I said, you're correct. He said, well, then let's put some younger people in who are still past middle age and or in advanced aging, 40 to 50 and up, and see if they can complete the study. There'll be a control group. I said, fine. So if you're 40 or over, you can get into the study. And to get into the study, you can call Luann Panisi, and she will interview you for that to see if it's right for you. We hope it is, because this is really good. I mean, the people who finished this study got in such phenomenal condition, you can't imagine. I mean, they were in shape. So that's it for today. We're going to go to Eutrice Lead right now. And, oh, by the way, let me just give you her phone number. And her, Luann's phone number is 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And just to show you, half the people finished the study but didn't complete what they were supposed to. Half did and did more than what they were expected. The results came that even with half not doing it and half doing it correctly, 2.2 years we extended the lifespan, according to a university. And this is going in a peer-reviewed journal. It's never been shown that a human being can do this before. We did it. Now we're expecting to increase that lifespan. Our goal is 5 years. 5 years. 5 years. Healthy years added on to a person's life with no disease. That's the goal. And May 14th to the 27th, that's when we're doing it. And then on the 27th, I come back to New York and go straight up to Kingston, where I'll be doing a speech. And then I drive over at 3 o'clock to premiere my new hard-hitting documentary in Woodstock. That'll be a fundraiser at 3 o'clock for the Woodstock radio station. And then at 6 o'clock for the people in Kingston, the people who want to come up from New York for this. I'm only back in New York a week, so I got a packed week. Have a nice day, everyone.